So that's a parts integration. And I'd like to go over the steps for how you'd do that. So the first thing that you'd do is you want to identify the conflict in the parts involved. It's been said that a problem well stated is a problem half solved. So the first thing you need to do is get the problem well stated. When I first talked to the gentleman that came for the cocaine therapy, when I first talked to him, I asked him, I said, what was going on? He said, well, I have this conflict. He said, I'm taking drugs. And I said, really? I said, how is that a problem? Because I still didn't get how it was a problem for him. So you want to have a real firm handle on how the problem's a problem. By the way, as I explain this to you, as I go over the steps for doing it, you may want to look along in your manual under parts integration, because we have a complete description of how to do the parts integration. So first thing you want to do is make sure that you understand how it's a problem. I said, well, how's it a problem? He said, well, it's destroying my life and it's tearing me apart. So I didn't want to talk to the part of him that was doing drugs. I wanted to talk to the part of him that was destroying his life. So first thing you want to do is you want to really get the problem well stated. Let me give you another example. I had somebody come to me one time and they said, well, I've got conflict in my life. I said, how? And they said, well, I'm trying to decide between two houses to buy and I can't make the decision. And I told them, I said, well, that's not a problem. Shoot, a lot of people would like to be deciding between two houses. How is that a problem for you? And that's the question you ask to find out how it's a problem. So I said, how is that a problem for you? And they said, well, I guess there's part of me that doesn't really believe that I can have what I want. Now that's a problem. Now, a lot of people in NLP would just call the house onto the hand. I'd like to talk to the part of you or talk to that part of you that thinks that you want to buy this house. Uh-uh. You want to take the part that doesn't really believe that they can have what they want. Because when you change that or when you integrate that part, that's when somebody doesn't come back and say, thank you, you've solved the problem. They come back and they say, thank you, you've changed my life. So I want to find out first how it's a problem for them. So if you don't understand how the problem's a problem, ask them, how's that a problem for you now? So that's the first step, is identify the conflict and the parts involved. And the second step is to have the part which represents the unwanted state or behavior come out on the hand first. So you want to start with the part that has the unwanted behavior or state, because that's the part that has a problem. That's the part you're going to call out first. You just ask them, which hand would it prefer to stand on? And what you want to do at that point is you want to make sure that the client has a VAK image of each part. A visual, auditory, kinesthetic image. So you want to ask them, as you look at that part now, does it look like somebody you know? I like to personify the part if I can, because it makes it for a more powerful integration. But sometimes you'll hear somebody say, well, it looks like a big blue ball or something like that. So if they don't personify it, no problem. But I always like to get a personification if I can, because it makes for a more profound integration. So once they have that part on the hand, the problem part, you say, does that part look like somebody you know? And then you ask him, if that part were to say something to you, I'm getting an auditory representation of it now. If it were to say something to you, what would it say? And does that part have a certain feeling or a weight as it stands there in your hand? So once you get the VAK image of one, then step three is you're going to elicit the opposite number or the flip side of the coin to come out on the other hand. The part with which this problem part is most in conflict. By the way, when you ask for this, you don't say, I'd like the part that part's in conflict with to come out. You say, I'd like the opposite number, the flip side of the coin, to come out on the other hand, the one with which it's most in conflict. When you get the opposite number, you're going to get a more profound integration as well. And then step four is to make sure that you have a VAK image of that part as well. So you want to get a visual, auditory, kinesthetic image. So you say, well, and I wonder, as you look at that part now, does that part look like somebody you know? And if it were to say something to you, what would it say? And does that part have a weight or a feeling or a temperature as it sits there in the hand? Notice I'm getting VAK. So that's step four. So now I've got both parts out on the hands. By the way, you want to make sure that the person you're working with is not resting their elbows on their knees. You want them in the air. And that's the best way to do the parts integration. So step five is to separate intention from behavior. So what you're actually going to do is you're going to reframe each part so that they realize that they actually have the same intention. And the way you do that is by chunking up. So you're going to ask, what's the intention or for what purpose? So you go to the problem part first and you say, so you always start with the problem part because that's the one with the problem. And you say, I wonder if that part could consider its highest intention for you. What's its highest intention for you? Now, you may have to prompt them and say, what's its highest positive intention? And if they say, well, it doesn't have a positive intention, you say, okay, well, if it could have a positive intention, what would it be? What's its highest intention for you? So you may have to throw that in and lead them in that way a little bit. What you say, what's its intention or for what purpose? And they're going to give you an initial word. Like in the case of the cocaine therapy that I did, he said, well, it's to have fun. Okay, now what you want to do at that point is you want to chunk up on the intention. And you say, for what purpose? What is it? So you use your chunking. So you say, for what purpose? Or what is the intention? So you're going to continue to chunk up on that part. And you want to chunk it up very, very high. Because the part that has the problem, what's going to happen is they're going to chunk up one or two levels, and then they're going to get to the boundary conditions of the problem. And you may find that they start to loop and chunk back down. And by the way, the cocaine therapy did this. What he did was, at that point, he said, to have fun. And then I said, for what purpose? Fun for what purpose? He said, for excitement. And I said, for what purpose? He said, and he chunked back down to fun at that point. That's a good sign, because he began to loop. And when somebody begins to loop, what you know is that they're up against the boundary conditions of their thinking. That's why the part's a problem. So I want to gently prod them on at this point, and I say, well, okay, well, for what purpose, though? If you can have fun and if you can have that excitement, for what purpose? All of that for what purpose? And eventually what will happen is they'll break through the boundary conditions of their thinking on that problem part, which he did, and he chunked up to happiness. He chunked up to happiness. Now, I wanted to chunk them up one more level. So you want to chunk them up one to two levels above the point where they break through the boundary conditions of their thinking. So I said, okay, happiness for what purpose? And he said achievement and satisfaction. And I didn't really get him up any higher than that. But at that point, I figured, okay, we're probably chunked up at a pretty high level of abstraction. Happiness is pretty high level. So then I went over to the other part. And it was time to chunk that part up as well. And I said, well, okay, for what purpose? What intention? And that's what you do at this point. So once you've chunked up the problem part, then you're going to go over to the other part, the one that it's most in conflict with, and you're then going to chunk that part up. And then you say, okay, this other part of you, what's its highest intention? And then you ask them, for what purpose, for what purpose, for what purpose? You're going to chunk them up several levels on that side as well, and you're going to continue to chunk until you get to the same word that they used on the other side. Eventually, you'll arrive at the same word. By the way, once you arrive at the same word, you may find that the hands begin to come together already. You may find that that happens naturally already. So as the hands begin to come together, at this point what you want to do is you want to notice the resources or attributes that each part has that the other part would like to have. Okay, so you can point those out. Then you can also say, now have the parts notice that they were once part of a larger whole. And you can also ask for any other parts that were also once part of the larger whole and have them join in the integration. Okay, now in your book, it says, if the hands do not come together automatically, create a third part with the combined resources of each part and place that image between the other two images. Scrap that step. I found that I never have to use that step. Maybe I've used it once in all the years that I've been doing these technologies. I really don't ever need to do step six. If the hands don't come together automatically, what I found each and every time was that I needed to chunk up farther on the intentions of each part. If you get a great enough level of abstraction on the intention of each part, they will come together by themselves. Okay, so you may need to chunk up high. You may need to chunk up to peace. Or you may need to chunk all, if they go to peace, not everybody will. They might go, people will chunk up differently. But you may need to chunk all the way up to existence. You may need to chunk up that high for the parts to come together. It depends on the individual. But if you chunk up high enough, the hands will come together automatically. I found that to be true every time. Number seven, step seven is to bring the hands together and at the same time have the internal images begin to merge. Now, most people will do that on their own without you even having to prompt them. Step eight is to take the integrated part inside and have it merge into the wholeness inside. Once they've integrated the parts, then you want to break their state. So you always want to do a break state after the intervention. So once you've done that, you can say, do you smell popcorn? Or ask them some sort of a non sequitur that changes their state. So change their state in some way. And then once you've changed their state, you've done a break state, then you're going to test in future pace. By the way, on any type of NLP or creation technologies intervention that you do with another person, you're always going to want to test and future pace the intervention that you've just done.